Please welcome Robin Young.
What a lovely welcome, but who am I kidding? The sold-out crowd at a recent Wellesley Bookstore author forum in Wellesley, Massachusetts, came to see one person.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Sally Field.
Actress Sally Field's memoir, Pieces, tops the bestseller list. She barely clears 5 feet, and at almost 72, looks only slightly older, I'm not kidding, than the boy-crazy surfer girl she played as a teen, Gidget.
You see before you me, Gidget.
Then a couple years later, there was the Flying Nun.
Have you ever had a Flying Nun here before?
How many of you fell in love with Gidget and the Flying Nun because that could be us? We knew, before this book, we knew how hard she was trying to make other people take her seriously. And then we saw her do it in Norma Rae and all those other films. How many watched that? Yeah.
Sally Field played Tom Hanks' mother in Forrest Gump.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're going to get.
Julia Roberts' fierce mom in Steel Magnolias.
Shelby, Shelby, hold on. Clary's getting you some juice. Shelby, Shelby, Shelby.
Should I get her a cookie?
No, juice is better.
She was Burt Reynolds' sidekick in Smokey and the Bandit and Hooper, and in real life, his deep love. But in the book, we learn he was controlling and disapproving, much like the industry was. She fought her way into her Oscar-winning roles, the fierce union activist in the cotton mill in Norma Rae, the steadfast Depression-era widow in Places in the Heart.
I'm not going to let that happen. I don't care if it kills me. I'm not going to give up.
Okay, a moment on that Oscar-winning role, because a handful of people may only know Sally Field because of her You Really Like Me acceptance speech. First, that's not what she said, and she says now what she was trying to say was that maybe with two Oscars, she'd finally put the Flying Nun in what she called her unorthodox career behind her.
And I've wanted more than anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it. But this time I feel it, and I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
Now, actor Robert Duvall handed her that Oscar, and this is really weird because he was then my sister's husband, and we were there.
You were?
Yes. And you came off the stage, and you stepped into the elevator, and we were the only ones in the elevator, and you said, "How did I do?" And we said, "You were magnificent."
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Basically, I was saying right now, my work worked. That was the first year they were doing the red light, and it was flashing in my face. So it wasn't eloquent, but it was what I felt, you know?
Well, it's not even in this book, because there's so much else. It's a story of childhood in California, your mother, a beautiful woman. Your dad came home from the war. They divorced, and enter her second husband, your stepfather, a charismatic, force of nature stuntman,
mm-hmm.
who went on to abuse you as a child. I mean, it's a stunning revelation. Why? How did you come to write about this?
Well, so my mother passed away on my 65th birthday. I thought I had done all the right things. You know, I'd had the conversations and we'd had moments together of feeling that everything that might have been bad was gone. But when she was gone, I felt so deeply disquieted. Something growing on me, like there was a wound festering and I didn't know where it was and I didn't know how to find it.
Then, a friend asked Sally if she was going to attend a noted women's conference. She was.
And she said, "Well, that's really good, because I want you to give the keynote address." And I said, I can't possibly do that. I can't give the keynote address. I have nothing to say." And she said, "Yes, you do." And I thought, "Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do." And it took me 7 years.
You take us into how this could happen, that your stepfather was sexually abusing you and nobody knew, and into what you described as your dislocation, sort of if you're separating yourself from that, then there's an odd dislocation for the rest of your life.
There's a saying that what's fired together is wired together. So that when my stepfather came in and picked me up and held me, and he was big and bold and loud, and I was tiny and shy and frightened, and I wanted my mother to take me into her arms and put me safely on her hip, but I could sense she wanted me to show that I was happy in his arms because she needed him to be pleased. And I was being seen. I was being held and seemingly adored. This must be love. And yet I'm terrified. So early on in my life, those two things got wired together, love and terror. Understanding the mechanisms that I used to survive and how they served me for so long. In my early career, they served me. But I had to unweave them so that I could then try at 72 to leave them behind.
You had a boyfriend, Steve, who became your first husband, who helps a dysfunctional family function. But you became pregnant, ended up in Mexico, and it sounded like a haze. And again, that felt like a dislocation, like this can't be happening. And 6 weeks later, you're Gidget.
I was in pieces. When things would happen at 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 that were just too much for me to handle, I learned to send myself out of the room. The terror was not there, and the sadness was not there. The rage was not there. And the part of me that was the taskmaster could stay and do the tasks that were required. And as I started my early career, I was still able to send out the parts of me that were overwhelmed. Luckily, when I was 12 years old, I found a stage. I went to a public school in the San Fernando Valley, and they had a theater arts department. And I did my first scene when I was 12 years old, and bam, something cleared. A bell rang. Everything was quiet. I could hear myself. Something that happens when you're really in a craft and you're not in your body anymore. So that went hand in hand with coming out of being in the kind of traumatic childhood place that I was in, but it was acting.
Then comes Sybil, the television show based on the true story of the young woman with multiple personalities.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Sybil? I hate Sybil. I hate her.
Who are you?
I can do anything. I can do anything I want to.
Of course, you're phenomenally talented. But of course you're going to be able to play that person because you divided so much of yourself up.
I knew I knew her. And I didn't connect with how deeply Sybil and I belonged together. And yet I knew so well how she glided from one character to the other. But it took me till so recently to go, oh, I see. You mean Sybil and I had very similar survival mechanisms. Doing that, being in her shoes, connecting with pieces of myself, it did change me at the end. I had had moments in my life where rage took over, and I would be so lost in absolute white rage that I didn't care if I lived or died. But in acting, and certainly in Norma, being the first place where I was able to connect with the rage, when I stood in Norma's shoes, when I did all of the deep work that I had to do to understand her, I heard my own voice.
It's a voice that's now raised. Of course, audience members wanted to know what Sally Field thought of the Me Too movement and the recent confirmation hearings with descriptions of drunken, loudish behavior.
It doesn't surprise me. I don't think it surprised any of us. But I think we're enraged. I think it's time to get mad. We have to stay mad. But this can't be about the Democrats and the Republicans. It isn't. It's about our country. It's about all of us. There has to be something else on the other side of it. We have to look at how we teach our little boys and our little girls to talk to each other. This bad behavior from boys, that men that we're hearing about now, it was taught to them. You know, it disallows so much of the humanity of little boys early on. And certainly, you know, as little girls, I was taught that I couldn't speak out. And now we're outraged, and let's stay outraged, and let's get to the polls.
Sally Field, thank you. The book is In Pieces.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sally Field at a Wellesley Bookstore Authors Forum in Wellesley, Massachusetts, her new bestseller again, Pieces. And by the way, she points out it's not a full autobiography. Steel Magnolias isn't even in here. But it's a memoir of a specific part of her life, her childhood, and how some of the rage that robbed childhood caused fueled her fight to get parts like Sybil and Norma Rae and Mary Lincoln. You're listening to some of the Lincoln soundtrack at hearnow.org. We'll have a web extra, her fight to play Lincoln's wife. Oh, and Sally Field's favorite screen kiss, hearnow.org.